Praise God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We continue with all trust in resurrection. Okay. Who is the resurrection? Okay. I'm the resurrection and the life. No man can come unto the Father except by me. So, yeah, all trust in the resurrection. All right, 2 Corinthians. All right. Verse 2, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called saints. Now, if you're using King James, you see the phrase to be italicized. So, you are not called to be, you are called to what? Saints. So, it says, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. The implication is that the letter written to the church at Corinth can be read by any saints, can be read by any group of churches. Hallelujah. So, the letter is the church at Corinth and to all that call upon the name of the Lord. That means the church at Ephesus could have read this epistle, the church at Thessalonica can have read this epistle, because it's unto all that call upon the name of the Lord. So, notice how Paul begins the epistle. I thank my God always on your behalf. It's very instructive the way it starts. He's going to rebuke them in chapter 3, he's going to rebuke them in chapter 4. He's going to rebuke them in chapter 5. He's going to call their attention to what they have in chapter 6. But look at the way he begins the letter. Hallelujah. So notice how he starts as well. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. What is that grace? That in everything you are enriched by him in all utterance and in all what? Knowledge. So it is all utterance and all knowledge. Even as a testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus. So notice the testimony of Christ, the proof of his resurrection, which is the Spirit indwelling you, has been confirmed in you. So the testimony of Jesus, which is the proof of his resurrection, is the Spirit dwelling in you and dwelling in me. And as that testimony is confirmed in you, so that you come behind in no gift, no charisma, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul starts the letter with revelation knowledge. He's informing them about the spiritual ability, spiritual deposit that God has given to them. You have been enriched or made wealthy. That's the word enriched. God has made you wealthy with all utterance and all knowledge. That's the word instruction. Okay? So, all utterance and all knowledge. So that you come behind. Say, I come behind. So, I'm not lacking in any supernatural faculty or any supernatural gift as I wait for the coming of the Lord Jesus. So, this is the state of the church is about to address. This is their state. They have been enriched already. Now, that you are enriched with something or there's a grace of God has been given to you does not mean you are going to walk in the reality of it. And that's why it's important that we follow Paul's teaching as he begins to instruct the saints with respect to the things of the Spirit. Chapter 12 and verse 1. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Again, the word gifts there is italicized. So what he really says, now concerning things of and that pertain to the Spirit. Things that spring from the Spirit. Or we can say things that have to do with the new birth. So he's not teaching strictly about gifts alone. He's thinking about things that pertain to the Spirit. So, now, again, in chapter 12, yes, he lists gifts, but beyond gifts, he lists ministry gifts. Beyond ministry gifts, he speaks about the usage of the faculties that has been given to us in Christ. So, he's teaching generally about things that pertain to the Spirit. Hallelujah. So, it covers a wider circumference than just gifts. That's what matters. There are things that pertain to the Holy Ghost, which pertain to the new. But remember, the testimony of Christ has been what confirmed in you. What's the testimony of Christ? The Spirit now indwells you. Now indwells me. That's the testimony of Christ. Hallelujah. That's the proof of his work. So, notice, you know that you were Gentiles, carried away unto this dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking. So, when it comes to things of the Spirit, the most important thing for you and I to understand is that the primary way it is expressed, not just the Spirit of God, the Spirit, things that have to do with anything that has to do with Spirit, the primary of expression is speaking. So, no man speaking by. So, men are used to speaking by the influence of another. No man speaking by the Spirit of God will ever call. So how do we know which Spirit is at work? It is in what is said or what is spoken. No man speaking by the Spirit of God or speaking by inspiration. See, I speak by the Spirit of God. All right, so the basis of what he's about to teach now is, what does it mean to yield to the Spirit? What does it mean to yield to the Spirit? It's not as mysterious as you might think, because this is one area where Paul spent three chapters, chapter 12, chapter 13, and chapter 14, to explain in detail, step by step, even calls it decently and in what? Order. That means you can be out of order, and being decent and in order has to do with whether you are using the faculties based on what they are designed for. So there's the faculty, there's what this faculty is designed for, there's your usage of it. That's very important. There's the faculty of the Spirit, which every single believer has. Then there's what the faculty is designed for, and there's your usage of that particular faculty. Can you hear me? All right. Praise God. So let's go to chapter 14 now, and let's just start. So that's as a preamble. Verse 1, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may what? Prophesy. So notice, follow after charity. How do you do that? You desire the things of the Spirit. And when I say desire, the end of your desire is that you may prophesy. So you notice the word "you may" is a permissive phrase. In order that you prophesy, you follow charity or follow love. So the activity of love, which is the activity of Spirit inside you, you follow by expressing your desire. Let me say it another way. The things that Paul has been teaching from chapter 12, they come into operation primarily by our desire. Now, as we go on, we'll notice there are three keys that cause you and I to walk in the charisma or the faculty of the Spirit. Number one is desire. Number two is knowledge. Number three is your will. Desire, knowledge, and your will, and my will. And that's very important, because again, chapter 14 is explicit. There are terms or phrases that are used that make it clear that the responsibility for how the things of the Spirit are used is not dependent on God, that depend on you and I, who are custodians of God's Spirit. So again, follow after or let love lead you as you desire the things of the Spirit. And when you desire, make prophecy the aim. Why should you make prophecy the aim? Verse 3. But he that prophesies speaks unto men edification and exhortation. I mean what? Comfort. Verse 5. I would that you all speak with tongues, but rather that you prophesy. So we see the word rather in verse 1 repeated in verse 5. So notice again, what is the aim of love? The aim of love is that you should seek to edify any and every sin that you come across. How do you do that? You are to desire. So what is backing your desire? It is love. It is that the love of God within you compels you to use the things of the Spirit in order to be a blessing. How you start is not how you finish. How do you start? Verse 2. The one that speaks in tongues is not speaking to men, is speaking to God, for no man understands. What is your aim? You want to minister. You want to bless. You want to edify. Where do you begin? You start with tongues. Is tongues the end? No. It's a means to an end. What am I doing when I begin to speak in tongues? I'm following after love. And I'm desiring. So the proof of my desire is that I start out in tongues. Let me say it again. I am to desire, because the things of the Spirit respond to desire. God gives the Spirit. Look at chapter 12 again. Look at chapter 12 again. Verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given. It is given to every man to profit without. But the manifestation of the Spirit, the full expression of the Spirit, is given to how many? Every man. For the profit of all. So it is not given to every man to show off. It is given to every man for one purpose. If it is to profit all, it means the love of God wants everyone to benefit from the expression of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Now, there are diversities of those gifts. Those gifts are administered in different ways. And when they are administered, they operate in various dimensions. Let me read. I just summarized verse 4 to 6 now. There are diversities of gifts, but understand the Spirit through which you find those diversities is just one Spirit. It says there are different ways those gifts are administered through individuals, and there are also differences of what? Operations or diversity of operations. But the same what? God that works all in all. Now, it now says in verse 7, but the manifestation. What's manifestation? Verse 4, verse 5, verse 6. So, the diverse gifts, the differences of administration, and the diversity of operation is now called in verse 7, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man for the profit of all. So the Spirit's way of showing his presence, the Spirit's way of showing his around, is given to every man. Notice the word given. It is handed over to every man, but it is meant for the profit of all. So there is something between what is given and whether it will profit all. That thing is called man. Hallelujah. Notice in verse 1 again. Now concerning things that pertain to the Spirit, I would not have you ignorant. So we define the word ignorant from mixed back, isn't it? To be ignorant here does not mean ignorance in the same way we know it. Yes, that's one meaning. The major reason is to ignore a knowledge that is given to you. So there was a knowledge given to you, just like we read in chapter 1. He has enriched you with all utterance and all knowledge. So you can never say, I don't have utterance. He enriched you, and he cannot lie. And he gave you all utterance and all knowledge. Hallelujah. And 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19. See what says verse 19. He's giving you this also. See what it says. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body, that's your constitution, is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God. Or who gave it to you? God gave you the Spirit, and you are not your own. So through God's Spirit, God has ownership of you. God's Spirit in you is God's ownership of you. Is that God has set a seal upon you that you belong to him? God's Spirit. So know ye not, are you not aware? Are you not Spirit conscious that God, having supplied you Spirit, you are no longer your own? You are now his. Hallelujah. Can you see that now? So when it says now of things that pertain to that Spirit, but the manifestation of that Spirit is given to every man. Who is every man? Every man who has received the Spirit. So the manifestation of the Spirit, that is the Spirit in expression, the Spirit's way of showing his around is given to every man, but notice it's for the profit of all. How is that profit given? Chapter 14 again. It says, follow after the activity of the Lord and desire spirituals, but rather that you may what? Prophesy. Can you see that now? So how will men profit? It is as I prophesy. How do I move towards prophecy? He that speaks in tongues. So I'm going to show my desire and begin to express the rather by starting out in tongues. But I know before I begin to speak that tongues is not the end, it's a means to an end. So tongues for me would therefore be, I'm announcing an end before the end is manifest. So the minute I set out, I know there's an end in sight. So tongues is my way of advertising there's a profit around the corner that God wants you to have and he wants me to have. Glory to God. So, you know, one of the challenges we have sometimes is this. When Paul gave explicit instructions concerning how to flow, they are so clear, you need help to misunderstand them. You need help to misunderstand them. Tongues on its own, without being accompanied by interpretation, was ever designed of God to profit man. It's an effective tool to worship God, to speak to God, but God, who is love, wants you to bless men. So if I come or I begin in tongues, I'm simply expressing a desire. I'm seeing there's something God has in mind. And God wants you to benefit from that thing. But until your understanding is engaged, you can never receive edification. So, though I started in tongues, my aim is edification. For you to be edified, I need to engage your word understanding. He that speaks in tongues is not speaking to men, but unto God. For no man what? Understanding. Albeit in the spirit. He speaketh what? Mysteries. Verse 3. But he that prophesies. The mindset of that passage is this. The one who chose to speak in tongues is one who also chooses to what? Prophesy. Is within the parameters of his will. So if I was not made to speak with tongues, I cannot be made to prophesy. I chose to speak with tongues, therefore I can choose to what? Prophesy. So in other words, I began in tongues, but the minute I come to where the saints are, I must move on from tongues to what? Prophecy. So two people benefit from tongues. Number one, me, I know now that there's something to say. Number two, the believer before me knows there's something that is going to about to receive, because I'm advertising there's a profit around the corner, there's a profit coming your way, there's a benefit God wants you to have. That's what I'm doing with tongues. So I did tongues, I'm speaking only to God, I prophesied, I'm not speaking to what men, and what will it contain? Edification. Hallelujah. So look at verse 5 again. I would that you all speak with tongues, but the rather. So we saw rather in verse 1 again, isn't it? Rather means I can prioritize the greater. So, tongues is me moving towards the greater. There's a greater that I can do. What does Paul call that greater in chapter 12 and verse 7? The manifestation of the Spirit is given for the profit of all. That's the greater. But the manifestation through me will not start out as a greater. It will be an announcement that there's a greater coming. Hallelujah. I'm saying in different ways so they can get it. So let me say again, I would that you all speak with tongues. So I want everyone to be willing to speak in tongues, because that's how you express desire. That's how you show you are ready to pick things up by the Spirit, which you are going to use to profit other people. But here's the challenge. What are you ignoring? You are ignoring the fact that the manifestation is given for the profit of everyone. So why is it that you started in tongues and you stopped in tongues? If you started with tongues, you already advertised there's something greater coming, but we never saw the greater because you didn't proceed from tongues. You didn't do the greater. What's the greater? I want all of you to speak with tongues, but rather you prophesy. For greater is he that prophesies than he that speaks with tongues, except he what? Interpret. So, except is the language of permission again. Notice verse 1. Follow after love. Desire things of the Spirit, but rather that you may, or to arrive at a destination. So when you are desiring, have a destination in mind. What's that destination? This tongues is unto the greater or unto prophecy. Okay, am I going to fast? No, tell me, is it too fast? Should I slow down? Nobody's saying anything. Should I slow down? Is it okay the way it is? Okay, thank you. All right. So notice, so that you may. So it may simply means something that is in me to do, an ability that I have. And so as you use that ability based on instruction, what's instruction? Rather. So I can speak with tongues, but the rather would mean I should make sure the tongues is used to profit all. But tongues in just that particular state cannot profit all except I interpret. Now in interpretation, others may receive edifying. So the instructions are very plain. Now, again, look at the instruction. Look at verse 12. Line by line, it begins so hard. Look at verse 12. Even so, for as much as you are zealous of what? Spiritual gifts, seek that you may excel to the edifying of the church. So we see verse 1, rather you may prophesy. Verse 5, except interpret that the church may receive edifying. Verse 12 now. Even as much as you are zealous or as you are covetous of things of the Spirit, as you are desirous, you are to focus on how to excel. The word excel means to overflow. What does it mean to overflow? I started in tongues. When I come over with interpretation, I have overflowed. Hallelujah. So to do tongues, I have begun, but there's no overflow yet. Overflow will be to get to the reason why I started with tongues in the first place. I am to overflow. I am to seek that I may excel. That's what overflow. What will I overflow to edify the church? So you can say it this way. When Paul says, concerning things of the Spirit, I will not have you ignorant. You can put it this way. I don't want you to be unaware that the Spirit is giving to you so you can walk in love. Hallelujah. The Spirit is giving to you so you can walk in love. Remember, Romans 5 verse 5. And hope maketh not ashamed. For the love of God is what? Shed abroad in our heart by the... If you're reading King James, you will think that he's talking about two separate things. Hallelujah. You will think he's talking about there's this love in my heart. See, there's love in my heart. There's the Spirit of God in my heart. Is the love different from the Spirit of God? Are they the same? Okay, they are the same. But in language, it looks like they are different. For the love of God is shed abroad where? In my heart. When it says love is shed abroad, the love that is shed abroad cannot be different from the Spirit. Because the presence of the Spirit signifies I'm a new creation. If I'm a new creation, then I have the love of God. Glory to God. So when he says follow after love, he's talking strictly to believers. They are the ones who have the activity, since they are the temple of the living God. So if I'm that temple, then the activities of deity are ongoing on the inside of me. I am to be conscious that I'm spiritual, or I'm born of the Spirit. Therefore, the Spirit in me now is my identity. Now, because I'm spiritual, I'm to desire. So where does desire come from? It comes from the mind. That's where desire comes from. Mind. So whatever is teaching here is to appeal to your understanding. Don't you understand how these things work? Don't you understand that God has freely given, and you are to freely receive, and you are to freely distribute what you have received? Again, Acts chapter 1. Just follow carefully, because when you are flowing in the believer's meeting, or even in Holy Ghost meeting, if at a point in time, because a believer's meeting is different from a Holy Ghost meeting. Maybe I should say that now. A lot of people don't understand the difference. A believer's meeting is slightly different, technically, from a Holy Ghost meeting. In a believer's meeting, every believer ministers to other believers. So in a believer's meeting, the emphasis is on every saint. In a Holy Ghost meeting, the emphasis is on ministerial gifts, ministry. Should I say that again? In a believer's meeting, the emphasis is every saint ministers to other saints. In a Holy Ghost meeting, which can include the believer's meeting, because the Holy Ghost meeting, the Spirit of God is leading, instructing, guiding, and directing. A Holy Ghost meeting can include a prayer meeting. It can include a worship session as led by the Spirit. How many of you remember? It can include a healing session. So you can say a Holy Ghost meeting is where the Spirit of God is leading, instructing, guiding, and directing. The emphasis when it comes to ministering is on the ministry gifts. Somebody is standing, giving instructions at different times, which we're all going to follow to enjoy God's very best. And then he may have other people who are assisting, who are ministering, but it's not everybody who is ministering. But in a believer's meeting, everybody. How is it in the brain? When you come together, every one of you. Hallelujah. Do you know the difference now? Okay, so are we not doing the same thing? No, it's not the same thing. It's not the same thing. All right? As led by the Spirit of God, sometimes within a Holy Ghost meeting, there can be a believer's meeting. So somebody may be called out to come and prophesy sometimes, but not all the time. But in a believer's meeting, it is certain that that's going to happen. Is that clear now? Okay, so that's very important. So Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Notice, I'm going to read three texts. Before Acts 1, look at Luke chapter 24, verse 49. Let's look at Luke first. And look at the language of Jesus. The language matters because the language will now be what Paul is expounding on in the epistles. Paul expounded on the teachings of Jesus. He wasn't there but by revelation. He knew the things that Jesus taught. And look at what it says. Behold, I send the promise of my Father where? Upon you. So the word upon there is the word epai. That means for something to be seen through you. For the activity of the unseen to become seen or visible through you. That's what epai. So when you say upon, upon doesn't literally mean something landing upon you that we can see. No. It simply means that the way we know the Spirit is at work through you is that you prophesy. Yes or no? So when you're prophesying, we can say the Spirit is where? Upon you. So it doesn't mean something literally is hanging on you. No. It says, behold, I send the promise of my Father. Who is he talking to? People who are saved, who are born again. So I send the promise of my Father upon you simply means that the same Spirit that's within you now will be seen upon you. Now, in case you think Jesus is taking credit for the activity of the Spirit we will see through every single believer. He's taking credit for it. When he says, I will send the priest. So, behold, or see now, I send the promise of the Spirit upon you. Now, look at the B part. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be what? Endued. They look at contrary statements. You are to tarry after 40 days of teaching. The day of Pentecost is on the 50th day. So, you can say, 3 days he rose from the dead. You can say the next 40 days, making 43 days, isn't it? He taught them. You can say for the next 7 days, so for about 7 days, they tarried. What was the tarrying for? Until you be endued with power. The word endued means to sink into a reality already present. So when he was telling them, tarry, or behold, I sent, where was the Spirit? In them. The Spirit was where? In them. He says, I will send it from on high. You are going to be endued with power from on high. Where is on high? It simply means the heavenly. The word on high doesn't mean a height. It simply means in that heavenly realm. Were they new creations? Yes. Where were they seated? In the heavenly way, in Christ Jesus. As he was talking to them, they were seated together with him. He is not ashamed to call you brethren. We have the same inheritance, the same Lord, the same Father. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. So I was talking to them. The difference between him and them primarily is number one, is their Lord. Number two, they were yet to realize the reality of salvation. They were yet to fully realize what it meant. So he said, tarry until you be endued. That is, as you stay in prayer, everything I taught you will suddenly start dawning upon you. I've taught you for 40 days. As you stay in place of prayer, your spiritual consciousness become what? Awakened. Then you will wear or you will put on until you will sink into the reality of what I've taught. So, Luke wrote, of course, the book of Luke. Luke also wrote the book of Acts. So, chapter 1, verse 8 now says, you shall receive power, active word, lambano, to take hold of something. One translation says, you seize. You cannot take what is not given. John 3:34, a man can receive nothing except it is given him from heaven. So, the Spirit is given, then you can take hold. You can lay hold of the Spirit. So, laying hold of the Spirit is not the problem. It is how that's the issue. There is a reorientation now on how. How do you lay hold of the Spirit? That's the question. But what did he tell them? You shall receive, or you shall lay hold of the Spirit. And after you lay hold, the Holy Ghost will be seen upon you. I'm rephrasing that. Knowing the way it's written, King James is, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come. So if you read it that way, that's the impression we have. After you lay hold of the Holy Ghost will not come. No. It is as you lay hold that the Holy Ghost is seen upon you. Is the Holy Ghost in you? Yes. As fruit. What fruit? In your character. But the Holy Ghost must be seen as power. It must be seen as an influence. That is your responsibility. Why? The Spirit will not seize your tongue. It's a gentle spirit. It won't seize your tongue. It won't force. No. So you will now learn the way of the Spirit by learning to you. So you will lay hold, or you will receive, or you take from that same Spirit, you will sing. How did they take hold? They began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit. You know, people have said this many, many times, that when they got saved and they got filled with the Spirit, that they sort of knew certain words were coming, and they just felt they should just say them. How many of you had that kind of experience? How many had this experience of like, it's not coming? Not coming. Nothing is coming. Because the way you thought was that you thought the Holy Ghost would get the Holy Ghost. You know what I mean by that? You know some people feel like that. The Holy Ghost will get the Holy Ghost. You are the one that will receive. What does it mean to receive? You will lay hold. What does it mean to lay hold? You will do something. Because the person that is speaking is already born again. You already have the Spirit. But because you had this idea that the Holy Ghost will come from somewhere in the sky, when they lay hands, you just come in a rush. No, he's already here. He hasn't left for 2,000 years. He's still here. Doesn't come from anywhere. Since you're already saved, you already have the Spirit. So when he's saying it will come upon you, simply means the same Spirit that indwells you will now influence you. That's all. The Spirit that indwells you will now influence you. That's all. So there's a teaching that helps you to lay hold, so that the Spirit that you already have can what? Influence you. It's so simple, because it's a new walk, it's a new journey. You're like a baby in the Spirit. You're not learning. No man speaking. So it's by speaking. It's by speaking. Can I speak with tongues at will? Yes. So let me ask a question. Why then do you think you cannot interpret by will? You can speak with tongues by will. Why then do you think you cannot interpret by will? Your speaking is by will. Your interpretation is also by will. There's no difference. You are to desire. How do you desire? The emphasis that you may want prophesy. Because we're looking at profit, which is benefit, which is getting to the end point of what the manifestation is about. It's for the profit of all. If I do tongues alone, who is getting benefit? Me. I'm edifying myself. I'm building myself up. But guess what I'm building myself up? To still do something with the tongues. So imagine you build, you build, you build, you build. We are waiting. You are standing in front of us now. 5 minutes you have been speaking. We are still waiting. You are still building. You are building. When will you finish building? So we can receive. Because the reason why you are building is so that you can give us something. You have just advertised to us that rice are still very plenty. And then you just kept saying it. Where is the food? We will soon ask you. The last 10 minutes you have been saying rice are still very plenty. Thank you for the information. We are now tired of hearing the information. We need the substance. Where exactly is it? Is it in the cooler? Is it in the office? Where is it? Thank you for telling us it's available. Where exactly is it? That's what it means for you to do tongues, just walk away. Say, I don't have the interpretation. Why did you do tongues? Why would you tell us there's rice and stew? And say, actually, there's no rice and stew. No. Hold him down. There must be rice and stew today. So, by a conscious effort of your will, you just ignored the practice of the Spirit. What did you ignore? But the manifestation is given to how many? Every man. So if I see a saint represents the possibility of the manifestation of the Spirit that can benefit and profit me. Any saint, anywhere. Let me say something interesting to us. If you yield to the Spirit deliberately and consciously, it will amaze you the testimonies that will come from people around you and what they will say. Have you said things to people that before you said it, it didn't make any sense to you? I mean, but they told you it made perfect sense to them. You know, your problem is that the reason why you sometimes say, because you think everything you say must make sense to you. That's the problem. Years ago, one young man that I knew, a friend of mine, gave interpretation. He gave it in three parts. They came in three different words that are seemingly disconnected. Rain, abundance, provision. Rain, abundance, provision. Rain, abundance, provision. Rain, abundance, provision. And I just came here and I just said, the rain of abundance is God's provision for you now. I just put a few words in between. That's what I just did. I didn't say anything different. I just said it a bit clearer. But imagine you're just saying, rain, abundance, provision. Doesn't make sense. You know your problem. Okay, that one that you have, why don't you just see it and see whether, because someone else that you are ministering to was praying and kept hearing rain and did not know. And heard abundance, did not know. But when you now said provision, it connected the two. How can I come to sister and I say, rain, abundance, provision, That is there. Go and say it. You think too much. You even want to couch your English grammar. You know you don't speak English like that normally. You're not changing the full name when you're prophesying. You are too conscious of language that you're likely going to miss it because you soon run out. Speak normally. It is speaking in tongues. It's not grimacing in tongues. It's not agonizing in tongues. And it's not frowning in tongues. It's not speaking. Your tone should not change. It should not become soprano. Because you are doing tongues. No. It should just be in the same normal way you're talking. That's where it should come. So notice, behold, I send the promise from my Father. How will I send? You will tarry. You will be endued. When you are endued, that is me sending. Is Jesus is saying, my activity is seen in your yielding. When you yield, it is me acting. Hallelujah. Do you understand? Now again, you shall receive power. And after you take off the power, the Holy Ghost will be seen upon you. Again, look at Acts 2, verse 33. Acts 2, 33. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, this is Acts 2, 33. Peter is explaining what happened in Acts 2, isn't it? In verse 17, I already said, shall come to pass, as they said, Lord, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Who is I there? Who is I? Who does that pronoun stand for? God. I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Pay attention to Luke's exegesis. It sounds exactly like Luke 24, 49. Behold, I send. You will tarry until you are endued. Behold, I send. Who is I? Jesus. But it is when you are endued. When you are endued, that is me sending. Now look at what Peter is about to say now. He shall come back and say, God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. What does that mean? I mean your sons and daughters shall prophesy. So no matter how much I announce that I poured out my spirit, nothing can be seen until your sons and daughters, they do something with what I've given them. When they are doing it, that is me pouring out my spirit. So the activity of God is now found inside men and manifested through men. Hence Paul said, but the manifestation of spirit is given to every man for what? The profit of all. Go back to 1 Corinthians 12, verse 11. See something, verse 11. I didn't finish reading this right, but I'm sure you got the gist. I haven't received the Father the promise of Israel, and he has shed forth this, which you now see and hear. Who shed it forth? Peter said, Jesus. Who did we see demonstrating? 120. 120 were speaking tongues. 120 were interpreting. 120 were rejoicing. Peter said, he has shed forth this, which you now see and hear. Or it is the Lord himself who is doing those things through the saints. Hallelujah. You know, it will carry more gravity with you when you realize that when you are prophesying, God is pouring out the spirit through you to bless someone. It is the Lord himself acting through you to bless somebody else. So it must never be trivialized. It must not be overlooked. And it must not quench the spirit. It's so important that the Lord always wants to act. And guess who uses men? Uses you, he uses me. Glory to God. Charles and Francis Dutton. How many of you have heard of Charles and Francis Dutton? They are some of the most stupendous healing ministries ever on the surface of the earth. But if you read about their story, their background was bad. One was a divorcee, maybe twice divorced or thrice divorced. The other had a very terrible work. And then God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. Despite their background, they had some of the craziest healing miracles ever recorded, both in number and in quality. They used to hold them healing explosions where they would teach saints how to heal. Remember one of those sessions they taught in a particular church for a few weeks how to heal, and those people went out to heal and they told them what to say and how to get results. A young lady, for the very first time, she had just finished the training session from that school. She went and saw a man who was blind. Only problem was that this particular man did not have any eye socket. No, there was eye socket, there was no eye in the socket. If it's you say that, thus far has the Lord helped us. Next. Oh yeah, like, I want to pray for blind eyes to open. There is no eye that will open. It's only socket that is here. So he gave the student prayer and spoke. Then the empty socket started treating. It started treating and treating before our eyes and the eyes of the other person that went. We went two by two. That's why somebody's good for you to go two by two. Now if you faint, somebody will carry you. So the eye socket started treating. And then the eye slightly opened. She literally saw eyeball forming. She passed out. They carried her back to this church. The miracle worker did not finish the rest of the miracle. You know, when you just use the name of Jesus to do miracle, you just use the name of Jesus miracle. Miracle doesn't say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. The first Jesus was for the miracle. This other Jesus is to save your soul. Because what you are seeing now, you cannot. You know that can't be your feet. You already know, because the eyeball now began to form before our eyes. You know when God does process, you know, he can just make it appear. No, he did the long process. It was forming. Ah, she passed out. Imagine starting your healing ministry on that dimension. The kind of faith you are going to have. Next time you are going, say they have amputated the leg. Bring the leg, bring the leg. You have seen eye forming. You know bone can form with flesh. You know it can form with flesh. Hallelujah. Being by the hand of God exalted, he has shed for this, which he now see and hear. Which you now see, he has shed for. He is the one doing it. He has poured out, emptied out this, which you can now see and hear. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11. Look at verse 11. We're in verse 7 before. But all this, what is all this? A word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, the sign of spirits, gifts of special faith, gifts of healings, working of miracles, prophecy, every kind of tongues, interpreting of tongues. All this worketh that one, I mean the one, self same spirit, dividing to how many? Every man severally as he will. So the problem is that phrase, he will. Notice all this worketh. So how does he, pardon my use of language, worketh? How does he worketh? Can't pass English in school with that, but I can say it here. How does he worketh? Verse 3, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 3. But he that prophesied speaketh. He speaketh. He that prophesied speaketh. Verse 5, I would that you all speak with tongues. Can you see that? Verse 4, he that speaketh. So how does he worketh? It is true, the one that speaketh. So the walking is seen in what? The speaking. All this worketh, that one, the self-same spirit, dividing or distributing to every man. So how does it begin to distribute? It's a walking. That walking of miracles, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, the walking is through speaking. The walking is through speaking. It is as the man speaks that the spirit is walked. So the walking of God is seen through the man who is given to what? Speaking. So Paul's instruction is, I would that you all speak with tongues, or let me put it this way, but rather that you would prophesy. For greater is he that prophesies than he who speaks in tongues, except he interprets. So the greater is that I finished up my tongues with interpretation, which will be prophecy. So speaking in tongues is unto the greater. And that greater is a walking. That walking begins by speaking. So, the walking of God is seen as I speak, he that speaketh. I would that you all speak. Can you see that now? So, verse 12 again, look at verse 12 again. It says, even so, as much as you are zealous or desirous of things of the Spirit, seek that you may excel toward the edifying of the church. Now, jump with me to verse 16 or verse 15. What is it then? So, when you hear what is it then, is a summative statement. The implication is this: if I'm to speak with tongues, and when I'm speaking in tongues, I should proceed to the greater, which will be to the edifying of the saints. If I'm to desire the things of the Spirit, but it should be in order to prophesy for the edifying of the saints. If I'm to be zealous of things of the Spirit, and I should seek to excel to the edifying of the saints, what is it then, or how do I arrive at that what? Conclusion. I will pray with the Spirit. I will what? Pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, or I will sing with what? The understanding also. So I will pray with the Spirit, I will pray with tongues. I will pray with the understanding, I will pray with interpretation also. I will sing with the Spirit, I will sing in tongues. I will sing in understanding, or sing what? The interpretation also. Look at verse 16. Else, when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupy the room of the understanding say amen at thy giving of thanks, seeing he understands not what thou what? Sayest. Look at verse 17. For thou verily give it thanks well. It's like saying, if you speak tongues, you are doing good. Why are you doing good when you are speaking tongues? Because you have shown that you are desiring things of the Spirit. However, you have not done the greater, you have not done the rather, you have not overflowed or excelled toward edifying, but you have done something good. It is from good to the better that you are going to graduate, isn't it? So notice, else when you will bless, how shall the other say amen? So in other words, I can be giving God thanks. But you cannot be saying amen because you don't know what I'm saying in tongues. I'm giving thanks well, that's true, between me and with God. But when I want to bring you into that particular flow, I must interpret everything I just said. Remember in Acts 10, they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. That's the same as thanksgiving. They spoke in tongues and magnified God. If all they did was do tongues, nobody would know what they were saying. But they spoke tongues and they interpreted by magnifying God. They spoke about the wonderful works of God. That's like he did in chapter 2. So notice what he says then. He says, I thank my God. What did he just say in verse 17? You verily give thanks well. The one you did in tongues. But the other is not what? Edified. Now Paul now says, you know what I would do? I just told you I would that you all speak, but rather I will move from giving God thanks well in tongues to the rather. What is the rather? I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than. So the more than is a reference to, I did not leave you with tongues. I finished up with interpretation. Let me say it another way. It didn't mean, me, I do tongues when I wake up. At breakfast, I do tongues. And I'm jogging, I do tongues. As I'm beating, I do tongues. In between meals, I do tongues. And I'm on the road, I do tongues. If I'm conversing with you, I'm still doing tongues. Nobody will talk to you. No. He says, I thank my God. I speak with tongues more than. That phrase more than is to explain what speaking in tongues should lead to. It should lead to the other being able to say amen at your giving of thanks, which is what? Interpretation. How many of you understand? So more than is a reference to the greater he said in verse 5. The excel to edifying in verse 12. Hallelujah. The rather is saying in verse 1, he just proceeds to explain, because the emphasis of this chapter is this: let all things be done unto edifying. So I want you to focus on edifying, and it's a function of your will. I will pray with the Spirit. I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit. I will sing with the understanding also. Why will my will be involved? It's because my desire will shape my will or influence my will so I can take hold of what has already been offered. In other words, God is not giving you a suggestion. God is giving you a commandment and an instruction. Hallelujah. Let me show you something. Look at verse 37. If any man, that is anyone among you, think himself to be a prophet or spiritual. So this is what who is a prophet here is also called spiritual. So who is a spiritual man? Look at definition. The one who acknowledges that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. This is a commandment. This is not a suggestion. You know what? You know what Paul is saying? You cannot say, Pastor, I only have tongues. I don't have interpretation. You cannot. The commandment of God is that when you do tongues, you must follow interpretation. It's a commandment. It means he gives you the ability and he cannot deny himself. So you cannot say, I don't have, because you have. If you don't have, he won't ask you to give it. So if any among you seem to be a prophet, I mean anyone who is spiritual. Who is one spiritual? The one who has acknowledged that all I wrote to you now is not a suggestion, no. It's a commandment. You are commandment to do the rather. You are commanded to do the greater. You are commanded to prioritize edifying. You are commanded. It's a command. So he's not going to take it as a suggestion. You know who a spiritual person is? He will not act on feelings. Pastor, as I'm sitting there like this, I feel so dry. It's a feeling. It will go away. Pour water on yourself small. It will go. Pastor, as I'm like this, I don't even feel like I'm born again. Welcome to the club. From time to time it will happen. Why? Let him acknowledge. Let him know very well. Let him understand that his body is a temple, the constitution of the Holy Ghost, which you have of God. And you are not your own. Let him acknowledge that you have been blessed, enriched with all spiritual blessing. Let him understand that he has been enriched with all utterance and what? Knowledge. Let him acknowledge. Let him know very well and walk in light of that knowledge. He that seems to be a prophet or is spiritual. So the one who is spiritual is also called a prophet. In other words, the one who is calling a prophet is a believer who has chosen to acknowledge all that God has made available and to walk in light of it. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, in a believer's meeting, when we say, get up and go and minister, one of the things we're doing is that we're putting you on the spot so that you will at least discover, since you have chosen not to practice on your own, in the gathering of the saints, the deposits of God are already within you, so that by experience, you may learn to practice it more often. You may learn to practice more often. That's what really matters. Forget about the feeling. If anybody seems to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge. So the one who acknowledges is the one who is spiritual. He has judged. He has decided. He has done the rather. He has moved on to the greater. He has arrived at what? Edifying the saints. Where are we? Go back to verse 27. Glory, glory, glory. So notice, if any man speak in tongues, let it be by two, or at the most by three, and that by course, and let one what? Interpret. Can you see that? So one by one, then let one interpret. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence where? In the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. So if there is no interpreter, means that if he doesn't come forth with interpretation, he should stop addressing the church. Now notice, if there be no interpreter, simply means he has said, I don't have interpretation. So he has not done the better or the greater. He is not called spiritual. He's not. He's not the prophet. He's not spiritual. Because who is spiritual? That one acknowledges that what is written in verse 1 and verse 5 and verse 6 and verse 12, they are commandments. What's commandment? If I come to you speaking in tongues, how shall I profit you? Except I come to you by what? Revelation? Or what? Prophesying? So, it's except I come to you. So, that one is acknowledging. So, if I come to you speaking in tongues, I know I'm advertising revelations around the corner. There is a prophecy around the corner. There's comfort around the corner. That's what I'm advertising. And I'm going to give it to you and profit you. So, what it means is this now. It says, if there be no interpreter, he started out speaking in tongues and is not interpreting, he should keep silence in the church, means he should not address anybody in the church, he should speak to himself and to God. What is he supposed to be doing? Keep building up yourself until you are ready to interpret. Glory to God. Notice it doesn't say he should stop. Where should he stop? He should stop addressing the church. Why? Because tongues alone will not benefit the church. What will benefit the church? If he does the rather, except he interpret. Hallelujah. Can you see that now? Now, so notice, let the prophet speak two or three and let the other judge. If anything be revealed to another that sits by, let the first hold his peace. But notice what it says again there. Let the prophet speak two or three and let the other judge. So what does it mean to judge? It means when they speak, how do they speak? They begin with tongues. How you judge? You interpret. Hallelujah. Did you get that? Okay, go all the way to verse 37. Let me get something. Verse 39. Are you there? Are you there? Are you in verse 39? See what it says. Wherefore, brethren. Are you brethren? Are you among the brethren? Okay. Wherefore, brethren, convert to, that's the same word in verse 1, desire. Be zealous. Let your will be set towards prophesying. Notice, and forbid not to speak with tongue. How do I show I desire to prophesy? By ensuring I did not stop speaking with tongues. Can you see that? The one and there is not a conjunction, it's an explanation. Convert to prophesy, I mean, do not forbid speaking with tongues. Can you see that? So, the way I show I'm converting prophecy, or which is to prophesy, well, not that I'm converting prophecy, sorry, I'm converting to prophesy. Let me say it again. I don't convert prophecy. I convert to prophesy. I already have prophecy. Notice when you are converting, what you are converting is the expression, not the gift. Because the gift is already where in you. The manifestation is given to every man. All this work it. So there will be a walking through you. How do you show the walking? By forbidding not to speak with tongues. So in other words, if I continue with tongues, where will I arrive? Where will I arrive? Exactly. So how do I show I'm converting to prophesy? By forbidding not to speak with what? Tongues. So the one who refuses to speak in tongues is already what? Not converting. Because all this worketh that one and the same same spirit, dividing to every man. So the working of the spirit is seen as I begin to speak. Is seen as I begin to speak. So I am the one who cooperates with God by speaking. Any and every good thing can happen once I begin to speak. What is my role? I'm to speak. What is the spirit role? To give me supply or inspiration. Glory to God. He gives me utterance, but I am to do the speaking. So, how will I speak? I'm to acknowledge. Notice, if any of you seem to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge. So, if I've acknowledged, which is to take hold of knowledge and to understand it very well, it will arouse my desire. What will I do with my desire? My desire will enable my will. What will I do with my will? My will release me to speak. Let me say it again. Notice the pattern. The pattern is simple. I will acknowledge. My acknowledging will release my desire. My desire will set my will. My will enable me to speak. Amen. 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 We are finally awake. Praise God. So notice, wherefore, convert to prophesy, forbid not. So the man who continues speaking in tongues is showing he converts to express or to interpret. Why does he want to interpret? He wants to edify the saints, which is a female of verse 1, to walk in love. So, the minute I do that, I fulfill the process. But I show my willingness and my zeal by ensuring I do not stop speaking with tongues. So, tongues is content. Interpretation is unfolding the content. But tongues means there's content. But interpretation is unfolding the content. And the content, Paul calls it profiting or benefit or edification, and it is for all. Praise God forevermore. And you see that now. So the instruction is very simple. When you are asked to go minister, now let me say it this way. Many times there are two ways. One, you initiate by speaking. Number two, there's a quickening or a stirring. And if you're a believer for a length of time, you'll have felt both. How many of you have felt the stirring or a quickening to go minister somewhere? Let me see that. How many of you felt nothing, you just got up and went to go and minister? Let me see your hand. Okay. Guess which one pleases God more? Which one pleases God more? I can't hear you. Should I give you two options again? Okay. How many of you have felt a stirring on the inside to go minister to somebody before? Let me see your hand. How many of you felt nothing more? You still got up to go and minister anyway. Which one do you think pleases God more? Thank you. Why? It requires more faith. So that means when you feel nothing, is God still true? Do you still have the Spirit? Does God still want people comforted? Does he want people stretching? Okay. So the same way also you can feel stirred up to pray. And as anyone start praying like this, it will be like chalk is in your mouth. You feel like nothing is happening. I've never been more dry in my life. I've noticed by experience. At those times when you feel the most dry, you're on the brink of a major experience that your senses are trying to deny you. You're on the brink. Never be deceived by feelings. Never. Never be deceived by feelings. Jacob in Genesis 28, he alighted on a certain place on his journey from his father's house to the house of Laban, his uncle, and he put up a rock. I don't know how somebody can use a rock for pillow. We thank God. And when he slept there, he had a visitation. The same way God spoke to his father, Abraham, God spoke to his father, Isaac, God now came to him as the one who is next in line. And the person God is speaking to is the man who just cheated. But God came to him because my covenant is still with you, even in your imperfection. The same way I was with Abraham. I told Abraham to walk before me, I'll perfect him. I'm telling you also now, he took a stone, put it as a pillow and slept. When he woke up, how dreadful is this place? This is no other than the gate of heaven. This is the house of God. God is here and I did not know it. That means there's nothing in your physical environment sometimes that will tell you that God is present and he's present. You have to learn to look to his word. So he that is spiritual is one who acknowledges. That is based on the authority of God's word. You use that to shape your desire. And to use your desire to influence your will. And then for your will to lead you to what? To act. You already know if there is an end, your expectation will not be cut off. So tongues, I begin. If I begin, I must conclude. Both the beginning and the conclusion come from the same spirit. I simply use the word of God to stir my desire. I use my desire to set my will. What is it then? Or what's the conclusion? How do I arrive at this? I'll pray with the Spirit. I'll pray with the assigned soul. It's my will that's involved. And my will is affected by knowledge, which is my desire set in motion. Say amen. Is that very clear? Now, let me say it this way. I've taught that in the area of utterance, but the same principle works in the area of all the things of the Spirit. I'm going to get up and dance now. You may start out dry. It's like there's laughter going on. I'm going to join now by laughing. But you don't feel like laughing. I'm just going to join her. Why? If this sister and this brother are laughing, the inheritance belongs to all of us. I'm just going to join in. What are you using? You're using knowledge to set your will and to affect your desire. What will happen? The sensation will come. There will be a response from the Spirit. Because what you are holding or what you are handling is a spiritual reality. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Yeah. Thank God for the time the sensation comes. When the urge comes. When the influence comes. But thank God much more for when you feel nothing. And just step out by faith. And just jump up and just rejoice. And give a shout of praise. Those are the times that your life actually changes for good. Because you've taken a step of faith. And God always honors faith. Because faith always honors God. Hallelujah. God always honors faith. Because faith always what? Honors God. People that take a step. I call it leap of faith. Don't think. They don't feel the same weaknesses that you feel. The same doubts that you feel. They do. We just cast those things aside and take a step. We just ignore the way they feel and take a step. That's what they do. Despite the crowd, despite the people that are there, they just take a step of faith. And then what they need is a supply of the Spirit. And in meetings like Holy Ghost meetings, for instance, now, that simple prompting that you seemingly have to do something, to do an act, that may be what will open the whole meeting up. That's the way it works. That's the way it works. I was in a meeting recently, I remember Bible Training Center, and one of the ministers came close to where I was and gave a word to somebody sitting down beside two seats from me, a minister. I don't know the minister. Gave the message in tongues and handed the mic over back to the presiding minister. That one now called me to interpret. The minister handed over the mic, and I was like, just like him, I also don't know. I just stepped up, took the mic. When I interpreted, there was a move of the Spirit. That means within your interpretation and your obedience, there's a move. There's a move that you can hold ransom or you can release. Keep that in mind on Sunday. Hallelujah. That your obedience means a lot to other believers. Your obedience will supply the Spirit for other believers to enjoy. Your obedience. Your obedience. Whether it is to shout. You know, you are too together. Let me read that word. You know what I mean by that? Your makeup is in place. Your shoe, your dress, everything. I don't want to be ruffled. I just want to, you know, be meek and mild and gentle. Don't do that at the expense of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Don't do that at the expense of the Spirit. Sometimes when you're coming for meetings like this, the way you dress already tells us whether you're ready or not. Yes. The way some of us we dress, you know, you dress is saying that way, I'm not running anywhere today. I'm not going to sit down one place. I'm not going to move anything. Nothing will move me and I will not move anything. It's already clear. Because the way you do it, we know you cannot run like this. Except, I don't know interpretation right in English. After all, Babe. So there is a disposition that your desire shows, even in the way you come for meetings. You are open to anything. That disposition is extremely important when you want to receive God's best in such meetings. I'm full of looking. I cannot talk. I can't talk. I want to speak. I cannot speak. Just wait. Let it continue. You don't know what's going to happen next. You know what it means for a minister to be knocked out in a meeting? A meeting. He's a minister. He's knocked out in a meeting. And he did not recover until the meeting was over. Even hours after. Ministers don't like falling under power when the meeting is going on because they are supposed to be ministering. But what if the working of God for you in that particular... I know a minister who was in a meeting of that nature and he was knocked out. And it was when he was knocked out that he saw a vision of the future that God had for him. And a few months after, just after he finished school, he was out of the country to go to a Bible trip. Because that was when he now knew what God wanted to do. That's what God is saying, that until we knock you down, we cannot. Because if where you are going, it's like you are planning to go to Kogi State. Kogi State is not the plan. We have to arrest you to get you to line up. Because the way you are planning, you want to go into politics, you are in politics. Who sent you? I hope you understand what I'm saying. So sometimes those experiences are important for God to get off his position fully in his will, his plan, and purpose. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, we'll stop here tonight. Praise God forevermore.